Hey, it's Weezone. You're listening to Current Events, Politics, Presidents, and much more with Adam Lept and our official presidentologist, Dr. Ron Feinman, on a finer mid-morning coffee break with Adam and the professor every Monday morning, starting a few minutes after 10, right here on WWGH 107.1.
July 29th, 2019, and I'm pleased to announce that this is not the beginning of the live broadcast day. We started out with a new morning show starring the interviewer to the stars, Mr. Scott Spears. The new morning program, the only morning radio program in the great city of Marion. This station is moving upward, onward, and to greatness with only more fantabulous, I guess that's a word, things to come. Adam Lep here, the computer guy, and also the host of Mid-Morning Coffee Break, and that's the program that we are now indulging in, and I bring to you our official presidentologist, historian, partner in giggling, because it's always a giggle or two during the show, Dr. Ronald L. Feinman. How are you doing today on this fine late July morning, Ron?
I'm doing fine, and I want to congratulate the station and, you know, and you and Scott Spears for the new development. It's wonderful.
Yes, Scott Spears, the interviewer to the stars, programmer of perfection. Basically, just keep your radio here or your virtual listening device. There will be no disappointment whatsoever. That I can most certainly assure you of. Now, Ron joins us most Monday mornings for this program. Sometimes he's on with Scott. But today, we're going to go ahead and talk about, of course, all the myriad Democratic presidential contenders. Ron publishes the weekly blog called theprogressiveprofessor.com. It's almost been 11 years since he commenced with that fine online virtual publication.
Ron has been step in to say daily, not weekly.
Oh, daily, that's right. Well, I guess seven times a week, so I guess that's close enough. Or if you're a Beatles fan, like both of us are, 8 days a week. Might as well add an extra day, just for the
sometimes
fun of it.
Sometimes I publish more than one a day, that's true.
We'll talk about some of the presidential historical tidbits and factoids that Ron has been mulling over during his recent blogs, as well as a recent article that he published in the History News Network. But I thought we'd start this show out, because we haven't had a lot of controversy or debating between us in recent programs, so we'll go ahead and start the show out, just make sure everybody is wide awake. The ICE raids, and we talked about that last week, Ron. And one of the many ICE raids was, and this isn't ICE relating to something you put inside your soda or your mixed beverage to cool off or to get a little drunk. We're talking about the Immigration and Customs Enforcement, the controversial agency that's part of Homeland Security, established after the 9/11 incidents, which helps keep our borders safe. But it's a very controversial organization, to say the least. And this is one area where Ron and I agree on some things, but on other things we don't. Here's one thing where I don't think we agree, or at least don't agree too much, but I'm sure we can talk about this like two intelligent adults, because I guess that's what we are. The human barricade, Ron, where ICE was trying to make the arrest as they were doing raids on known people that overstayed their welcome. And again, this is just a fraction of the number of people here illegally. But there were people that were targeted for what I believe a very good reason. A human barricade was made to keep the ICE agents out. You're familiar with that story, right?
Yes, I'm also familiar with the story of the person taken out of a car by breaking the window. The ICE agents breaking a window and terrifying the whole family. That's outrageous.
Right. Sometimes raids involve that, and I can speak from personal experience. This is not a perfect analogy, but as people probably know, I'm also in the landlord business. And one of my properties in the capital city was raided, not by ICE.
Broken a window to get money?
No, it was because people were staying there that were doing things that were illegal, that is using illegal recreational substances, and the large window was broken by the police department, and I paid and got it fixed. It's unfortunate because I'm the one who ends up paying for it and suffers the embarrassment.
Well, that's a different situation, though. You did what you had to do. I can
right.
see that.
Not perfect analogy, but sometimes breaking windows and gaining forced entry. They also broke down a couple doors and other windows, not just the huge window that was rather expensive. That's necessary when a raid is done. And people that are subject to the raids by ICE have broken the law, and they've overstayed their welcome for a long period of time. They were given multiple chances to leave. We're not talking about, okay, it's time to leave. Your visa has expired. You enter the country illegally. It's not a question of that. It's a long history of illegal entry and illegal occupying of space and air in this country when you're not a citizen or someone who has a right to be
air.
Here.
I've never heard air before mentioned.
Yeah, well, it's air, you know, the environment. Although I don't support the Green New Deal because I think it's a farce and it's not feasible. Also not a fan of the young lady, AOC, who is behind it, an environmentalist.
She's a good looker, right?
Practical environmentalist. You indicated,
yeah, she's a good
Ron, that
like Melania is. You always say Melania or Trump is. I think
right.
Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is good looking, at least, right?
Didn't say she wasn't good looking. And Kamala Harris, who I put as more good looking because she's older. Honestly, I think AOC, she wears too much makeup and she looks older. I'm not saying she's not attractive. I think Kamala Harris...
She's going to be 30 next month, yeah.
I mean, Kamala Harris is very attractive. I mean, she's my age, and like me, she looks youthful. She has, well, her hair is nicer than mine, but not bad looking. Not.
You think Joe Biden will want to smell it?
probably. I mean, intelligent in a general sense, but she says things that are very stupid, which, you know, we're not going to talk about that today because that would take a whole show. So getting back to what we were talking about, Ron, you were in... kind of posted on Facebook that you were in favor of the human barricade, saying that the illegal alien inside this dwelling didn't commit a crime. And I'm kind of surprised because entering the country illegally...
The only crime you want to quote is that they came in illegally, but they did not commit... There's millions of people who have come in, quote, illegally, who have not committed crimes other than entering
Correct.
The country, have not been involved in crimes like murder, rape, or robbery, or anything.
Exactly. But only some people were targeted, and that is correct. I'd like to go ahead and snap my fingers and remove everybody that's here illegally. That's not possible. Just like I'd like to snap my fingers and know that if I go out driving at 2 in the morning, that half the people on the road with me aren't drinking or having smoked pot. And you and I both know that if you drive at 2 or 3 in the morning, and I'm a night owl, and I go to Walmart at 2 in the morning, or I go out. I mean, I don't drink and drive, but I can go out. I go to the casino sometimes. I do other things. Sometimes my tenants pay me at 2 or 3 in the morning. It doesn't matter. I'd like to know that I'm sharing the road with people that are not texting and driving, drunk, and not on pot,
yeah,
or another drug. But you and I both know that half the people on the road probably are, and that's unfortunate. And we can,
yes,
only catch some of them. The bottom line is don't break the law. You don't have to worry about it. And the people targeted by ICE long overstayed their welcome. They were targeted because they were given multiple warnings. This isn't somebody who entered yesterday. And I understand we're not necessarily catching people that are in the drug or trafficking business, but they're still here illegally. That is a misdemeanor. I think it should be a felony, but that's not my decision. Certainly it is a breaking of the law. And if you do that, you do it at your own risk. And I would like to have seen the people in the human barricade tear gassed after being given sufficient warning. That way, the ICE agents could do their job. Whatever the equivalent term would be for it. It is a national offense, obviously, so I can't say it's the same as blocking official police business that might be done in the city. But whatever the analogous term is.
Well, many cities are not going to cooperate. Even the police in Chicago, right, for instance, are not going to cooperate with ICE.
And
they made it clear because of the new mayor.
And so, I used to have great admiration for the...
against people who march and demonstrate against the President of the United States, so they don't have the right to defend immigrant rights. That's quite shocking,
right? Well,
I think.
These aren't immigrants. They're illegal aliens. They're people that have broken into the country. And I used to have a lot of admiration for the mayor of Chicago, of a black lesbian. I admire her for her campaign, the way she has... risen as a self-made politician, but after what she's done with her, what she said and what has occurred in the third largest city in the country, the largest major city to this area, I'm disgusted at her, and as far as I'm concerned, hope she loses every other election.
New York's mayor and Los Angeles's mayor and San Francisco's mayor and the governor of California and many other places, a lot of people are speaking out against ICE,
exactly.
I'm just telling you.
They're all wackos, and... even calling them traitors may not be a stretch.
Wacko.
So.
Much more than any of them. He's a danger to our Constitution and civil liberties.
I agree with Donald on immigration. It's a difficult job. I mean, there are some of the ways that it's being carried out.
And then his wife is an illegal immigrant. She didn't come in legally, and her parents should be deported immediately because it's a fact that they only came in because they were related to him.
Well, not unexpectedly, Ron and I don't agree on this, but we're not going to yell at each other, say unfriend me, and start
swearing. I'm just saying, but they actually are illegal, and they have no purpose. She came in just to do a nude photo shoot. She had no reason to come into this country in the first place.
Well, as I see it, pornography is an important part of the economy. It's safe sex. And it is. It is safe sex, and I'm all in favor of that. Unsafe sex costs the country money.
I can't believe you're saying that.
And it costs lives. I'm as long as you're of age and it's consensual, I'm one of the most pro-pornography people you're going to meet. And Melania's beautiful.
But you like the idea that a first lady was having nude shoots with women?
Do you think that's
appropriate behavior for a first lady to have?
I think it's very appropriate. I don't understand what the issue is. I think she's beautiful. And
I think
if you haven't,
there's no first lady like Melania Trump. That's the point I'm trying to make.
There are people, male and female, who make a living on their looks, some on their brains, some on both. You know, me, probably more my brains. I never tried that particular business, and maybe I could, but it's not really in my plans. But whatever your talents are, not to mention athletes. So Ron and I both being big baseball fans, yes. Dominican Republic is a hotbed of baseball talent. That's one area that comes to mind, as is Puerto Rico. Now, Donald thinks Puerto Rico is a foreign country. Of course, it isn't. Now, that was kind of a joke. But the Dominican Republic has so many of my favorite baseball players. Jose Rijo comes to mind, for example. And being an athlete is one other reason why somebody may come to the country. And given preferential treatment, if you can throw a baseball like many of these Dominican players can, well, that's fine. Any baseball
team
is...
That's a talent. I don't think being involved in pornography is a talent. There's a difference.
I think it's a big talent. It's show business. It's show business. It's a different. It's not the same as. It's not the same as acting in a Shakespearean play. I agree with you. It's not the same as being a singer, but it is a talent. Yes, it's an art form, and that's how I feel. You know, I'll always
ask religious Christians like Mike Pence whether they agree with that.
Yeah. Well, there are things Mike Pence and I will agree on. I don't know if he would agree on that, but that's my opinion. And again, that's even with my bias, where my background being in science, many people from other countries that were in graduate school, professors, undergraduate when I went to school, here in the United States through different means. But again, I'm taking a look at the First Lady, who did certainly have a big her being in the pornography adult entertainment business was a major contributing factor to her getting into the country. That's fine. It's a talent. It's an art, just like being an actress or a singer, or, and something I'm familiar with firsthand, a scientist, a researcher, educator, or another reason. But if it's done legally and to the proper means, there may be some preferential treatment. But I don't see an issue with that if there's a special talent. I would gladly give special preferential treatment to a scientist who would come into the country with brilliant ideas and brilliant research. And I would also have no issue with preferential treatment to someone who's a talented entertainer, which includes singer, actor, actress, or, yes, porn star. That's how I feel. Other way to say it. You know, I'm not hypocritical, Ron. I know a lot of people.
No, I imagine you're going to get some responses from listeners to what you're saying on this. I would think
that's what I want. We want controversy. And now that I'm following the interviewer to the stars, Scott Spears, I hope our listenership is tripling. Increases every day.
Maybe
but
quadruple.
anyone who lives in the world is a potential listener, and I constantly promote the show. But that is how I feel. But getting back to the blockade issue, yes.
Well, I respect you for that.
I was very disappointed when you said, Ron, that the person had committed no crime, that they had no business doing that. These people are those that have been given multiple warnings to leave the country. Making a human barricade is just like obstructing police business. And where I come from...
Okay, what about the 18-year-old who is a citizen who was held for 43 days, and Donald Trump has nothing to say about him, but about an African-American rap artist in Sweden, he makes a big deal out of it. When even if the person is a rap artist, that's the only reason he likes him, because he's a star. But what about that kid who was 18 and was held for 43 days and is now suing the government, a citizen, and held because ICE agents and Border Patrol did not believe that he was, you know, that his documents were real when they were real?
That's an interesting case, but what if you and I cross the border from Canada, Mexico, wherever, and we can't provide documentation of our citizenship?
He had it on him, but they said it was not real. That's what I've read.
Was this a gentleman who had the the license or the papers that said accidentally said he was a Mexican citizen. I don't know the exact case. I know there was something where a gentleman had documents and mistakenly said he was a Mexican national where he was a citizen. You are responsible as an adult to make sure your papers are accurate. I can't cross the border from Canada unless I have proper documentation of my citizenship. But I can speak from experience prior to 9/11 where all you really needed was a driver's license. They still search the car. They still ask you questions. So it's unfortunate that it happened. It also was an expense. But provide documentation or stay in your country. There's no other way to say it.
This kid, 18 years old, was denied enough food. He lost 26 pounds in 43 days until he was finally released. Well, and that's outrageous. That's a citizen of the United States. He may have been Hispanic origin as far as his background, but he was a citizen. And, you know, and nothing's being said by the commander-in-chief about that, but he complains about this rap artist who I'm sure did actually probably commit the violence that he was being held for in Sweden. But, of course, and he's black. That's the way he thinks he's going to get black support. But meanwhile, he's a racist against Elijah Cummings, our president, the person who was head of the House Intelligence Committee, Oversight Committee. So, I mean, he's so contradictory, and everybody is saying, and many Republicans privately are saying, he's a racist. There's no question about it. He's been all along, going way back to the 70s, when he was a landlord in Queens County, New York, and was denying blacks the right to get an apartment through the Central Park 5 issue, the Jaga issue in 89, and ever since. And how anybody could ever defend anything he does after everything he's done and said to divide the country and promote white supremacy is beyond me.
But Ron, you would agree that you and I and every other American is responsible for providing and having the right documentation, the right papers when traveling abroad and reentering the country. And right now, we're in a state of an emergency. That's why ICE was established. And the rules are stricter. It isn't the same as it was even 20 years ago. And sometimes things have to evolve.
Wins a lawsuit because his civil liberties were denied, and he lost 26 pounds. He could have lost his life.
Right. You know, well, he can't just lose. You and I will agree partially, and I, you know, we can talk, and none of us has raised our voice, but I knew this would be controversial, and this is how I feel. And I invite listeners to let me know if you think that I'm mean, you think that I'm right, I'm wrong, I'm crazy. That's fine. I'd love to hear it. Radio without talk, radio without controversy, without opinions. Isn't that interesting?
This is like Crossfire used to be on CNN, civil discussion of different viewpoints. I think we've done a great job today.
I recall also hearing that money has been taken out of the military budget, several billion, to pay for the wall.
That's wrong.
What do you think about that one, Ron?
That's wrong because Congress appropriates money. It's not supposed to be switched by the courts to the executive branch. That's an abuse of power that can continue to be used not only by this president, but sets the standard for future presidents. And that's bad. It gives the presidency too much authority instead of having checks and balances, balance of power, separation of powers. It's very, very bad. But of course, let's face it, it's partly because of Kavanaugh on the court. Kavanaugh, who himself actually should be in prison for having attacked this woman as a teenager and getting away with it. You know, so it's unfortunate. I think it's terrible. And the war will never be finished. It will be started, but it will never finish, I'm telling you. So it's a waste of our taxpayer dollars, along with the deficit that's now going to be $1 trillion a year, more than any president's ever had. And this is a party the Republicans used to be for, the idea of a balanced budget and to cut spending. And now they just went ahead and gave the top 1% a tremendous tax cut, and it's causing this tremendous increase in the debt.
It certainly will make for interesting presidential debates and high media ratings as the presidential candidates talk about what they dislike, I would say more dislike than like, about the others, and battle it out.
The second debates is this week, tomorrow and Wednesday, and on CNN, Tuesday and Wednesday, yes.
Registered voters like you and I go to the polls and decide whom we would like to see sitting in the Oval Office. So let's go ahead and...
You know who I want? Mr. Rogers. Fred Rogers. That's who I really want.
That would make a beautiful day in the neighborhood, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would. That's the kind of person, not saying him, that should be in the Oval Office, not a mean, nasty, bigoted, racist individual. And that's one thing I have to say about Joe Biden. Not that others are all bad, but Joe Biden comes pretty close in many ways to a Fred Rogers image. I really think he does. And I think that's a plus for him.
All right, but Joe is at this point is my choice, pending his VP choice, and if we can get competing Republican, again, it would likely be a moderate. I would vote for Nikki in an instant, and John Kasich I would certainly be in favor of, but I'm not sure that's going to happen.
It's going to be Mike Pence, I would think. You know, it will be the running mate.
I think it would be the smeller of hair, which would hopefully be the heir to the heir to the White House after I vote for him. So, into Ron's blog, theprogressiveprofessor.com, now that we've sufficiently argued and debated and yes. asked people to make their own decision. You write about the man that I call the pineapple president. Of course, that's Bob Dole. Dole for, you know, Dole pineapples.
Yes.
We admire
him. I wrote about him this past week. He's 96 right. now. Amazing. Now he's a statesman. Everybody who didn't like everything he had said and done, although nothing like Trump, now really respects him because he's lived long enough, like Jimmy Carter. It gets hard to really attack people that live that long, you know?
We admire him and admire his wife, Elizabeth. And like the Bushes, we don't agree with all of his politics. But as a man, he's great. He's a military hero. Someone who says what's on his mind and has a great legacy and still alive and kicking at the age of 96. And quite miraculous. He started his reign in the House of Representatives even before I was born, so you know that was a long time ago, 61 to 69, then a senator until 96, chair of the Republican National Committee in the early 70s, and again, president and vice presidential candidate, not successful.
And quite Senate Majority Leader, too, which is significant, yeah.
He worked across the aisle with many Democrats, including Richard Nixon's opponent, Senator George McGovern of South Dakota, on nutrition issues and food stamps, nearly died in combat.
Which now Trump wants to cut 3 million people that get them.
Almost 75 years ago, almost died in combat in Europe in April of 45.
Yeah.
Lost mobility and his left arm and has limited ability in his right arm. Great sense of humor, again, good man, and his wife also thought of as a potential president or vice president, so... Good man, and we wish a very happy birthday to Mr. Bob Dole, the pineapple president. Again, good sense of humor, so I'm sure he would giggle at the term pineapple president just as much as you and I would. And
yes, and he's also in the past years ago, after he left the left the Senate and lost the presidency to Bill Clinton, he did Viagra commercials, which I think is hilarious.
Well, that's fine. We discussed earlier about my. Open-mindedness about female and male adult activities. So sure, why not? Might as well talk about it. You know, be as Donald Trump said, a vibrant young man. And Dole seems to be pretty vibrant despite his injuries and his very full life at almost the age of 100. So, happy birthday, Bob, and give your regards to your wife. Great respect for you. We don't have to agree on everything you have to say, but as a man, he's one of the best class act. Put it mildly, something, again, Donald might want to take a lesson from. So let's go to some other blog entries, Ron. TheProgressiveProfessor.com. And you've written several times in the last week about age, race, gender, and other demographics. Except for Obama, all, and again, depends what you call old. Obama and a handful of presidents who began office in their 40s, John F. Kennedy, Teddy Roosevelt, for example. All presidents have been old white men. And you and I would agree the demographics of the president should mirror demographics of the country as a whole. That is, yes, he should be at least 35. And I think a president should at least be early to mid-40s. But again, a bright candidate who is a little younger, I have no problem with. I'd like
Which
to see
is Tulsi Gabbard or Pete Buttigieg. Yeah, they're the ones under 40, yes.
I'd like to see a woman president. I'd like to see another minority president and a gay president. Sure, why not? I think Chastain would be a lovely first gentleman or whatever you call him, although I do have...
And as I wrote yesterday, is the country ready to elect a woman, a minority, or a gay person? In the sense of against Donald Trump. That's the issue, because the most important thing for the Democrats is to find the candidate who can win. And it might be, it has to be an old white man. That has to be. I don't know. It's a real quandary.
I mean, Donald Trump is a bit of a conundrum in this case. He is our oldest elected president. He just seems younger. Now, he's probably not in very good health. He's overweight and eats a lot of cheeseburgers and mostly sits on the golf cart. But it isn't always a It's your genetics. It isn't always a case of your health and your age. I wouldn't say vibrant young man, but he certainly seems like a young 72, 73, whatever he is. And he seems to rule by tweet, and that's a younger method of governing, although I think he tweets too much. I think it's important that the president have a social media presence. Just Donald may be overdoing it, but who knows. So
maybe with also the
increase in lifespan, 70 years old today is different than 70 years old of 100 years ago or 200 years ago. Yet the minimum age remains 35, and in today's standards, 35 is young, whereas 200 years ago, 35, your life was more than half over. Now, you know, Ron and I, we're not going to mention our age, but the total age of us is close to 130. So we're both certainly younger than we seem, and you're only as young as you feel or old as you feel, and stay healthy. But 70 today is not the same as 70.
Trump, if he had a secretary, would be older at the end than Ronald Reagan, and yet now we have Bernie Sanders and Joe Biden, who would be older than either of them on inauguration day, meaning they'll go into their 80s, and even Elizabeth Warren would, after 8 years, be 79. And John Hickenlooper and Jay Inslee would be in like 77, 78. So that's the issue. Do we want people going to reach the high 70s or the mid 80s after, let's say, a two-term presidency? That is a worrisome issue, I think.
Yeah, but again,
age, it's not just being a professor part-time teaching or somebody who works at, you know, at a supermarket part-time. This is a very burdensome job. That's why I think it's a real issue.
But age certainly has changed its meaning as people do live longer. But do we need someone whose age is closer to the average age of an American? That's something you've written about multiple times. Bottom line is,
well, the average age of presidents is 55 if you count all 44 presidents. The average. I wanted to mention, you sent me an article yesterday where Winston Churchill was mentioned, and he was 81 when he left office, but I didn't realize he had had two strokes. So that's another issue. He's only 81, and Sanders and Biden will be 81 after a couple of years. Only Konrad Adenauer of West Germany, when there was a West and East Germany, was 87 when he left office. The only other people who have been in their 80s beyond like 81 are popes or Queen Elizabeth or the Japanese emperor, and those are not high-pressure jobs like being president. They're more honorary kind of things. They're not the same stresses that a president has. So that's a real, real big issue, I think, to think about.
Right, and we just take a look at the vitality of a younger person, but the wisdom and life experience of an older person. That's why maybe someone in his or her 50s might be a good choice. And Kamala Harris, Amy Klobuchar, they come to mind. So let the voters decide.
Harris would be 60 at inauguration. Excuse me, 56, Harris, and Klobuchar would be 60. But then we have younger people like Castro and also Beto O'Rourke, Cory Booker will be like 50 or 51. You know, so there's quite a few that are under 60, but the thing is they're not really white males. They're primarily, with the exception of Beto O'Rourke, minority or gay or female. That's the issue I've been bringing up, you know.
Now, in recent history, two Democratic contenders included a female, a white female, and in these cases, I was very supportive, as Ron was also, of course. Recently, Hillary Rodham Clinton, and before that, Geraldine Ferraro. Very big fan of both of those. I still mourn the death of Ferraro, as I absolutely admire her every possible way, along with her potential boss, Mr. Mondale. Someone else that I definitely have a good affection for. So is it a case, Ron, where two strikes, the Democrats failed to put a female as president or vice president? Maybe the third time will be the charm. But should this female be white, Klobuchar or Warren, kind of coming to mind, is having someone who's also an ethnic minority, Harris.
Or Kirsten Gillibrand, but she's in trouble now over the Al Franken issue that's been brought up again, that many people feel that she really wronged Al Franken, forcing him out. And actually, who else did? Kamala Harris was one of the others who was promoting that. So I think that is a negative thing against her in many people's minds now.
Right. So bottom line is, get to the polls, read what Ron and other scholars have to say. I hate to say it, but I think we probably need to have a white female. We need to kind of work on these minorities one at a time. And again, I want to mention again, female is not a minority. Actually, most adults are females, but with respect to president, it would be a minority.
Well, Amy Klobuchar is more centrist than Elizabeth Warren and much younger, 11 years younger. So I think it probably should favor her. But right now, she's not doing too well in the polls, and Warren is.
Yeah, and there are different types of candidates. Warren is very liberal, arguably as liberal as Sanders.
Yes.
And Klobuchar, from Minnesota.
Right down the middle.
Right, same state as Mondale. Middle of the road, Joe Biden type, and I would have no problem with her. I would very much like to see her, but I'm not sure what her chances are. Biden's kind of an old reliable, but he is old, but I think he looks looks healthy. To me, he seems like a young 78. He's been around such a long time.
He's actually 76. He'll be 78 if he gets in office. Yeah, he's actually 76 right now, yeah. Fine.
Well, he's still older than both of us, Ron, and he looks pretty healthy.
Not that much older than me, and I realized that, oh, my God, I'm only a couple of years younger.
That kind of hits you, you know where, doesn't it, sometimes?
I hadn't thought about this. Jeez. It's just like, wow. I think maybe a Klobuchar-Steve Bullock ticket might be good. The guy who's going to get into the second debate, Montana governor of a state that's usually Republican, he would only be in his mid-50s. He's younger than Klobuchar, but that's a white male with a white female. Maybe that is the ticket. Pick someone from Minnesota and Montana. I'm just saying something different, a Montanan on the ticket.
Right. And the case of the gentleman from Montana, Bullock, that's one of our least populous states. I believe just 3 electoral votes, which is the minimum. Now, the mountain states are traditionally Republican. But
he's won it twice. And the thing is, he's a younger governor than Hickenlooper was in Colorado or Jay Inslee in Washington. They're both going to be 70 in the first term if they came in, just like Warren. So it's a problem, it's the age issue again. At least he has youth. He's only 52 right now, it'd be 54. And Montana is, small in electoral votes, but George McGovern ran for president, and he had only 3 electoral votes when he lost. But I'm saying, how about Delaware? Delaware only has 3 electoral votes, and Joe Biden's run many times.
Yeah, so I'm just thinking really that what Delaware is near other states with a lot of votes, not to mention near D.C., near the important state of Pennsylvania. And I remember.
Well, I must say, the Rocky Mountain West, Montana's near California and Washington State, if you think about it on the map.
Not like Delaware is next to Pennsylvania. The whole state of Delaware is a suburb of Philadelphia, essentially.
Yes, it is.
And Montana, though it's not far from California, it's the West is pretty spread out and not really that,
close. Is Montana? Well, yes.
But with the Republican nature of Wyoming, Montana, Idaho, these states would be nice for the Democrats if they were to turn left. It wouldn't be a lot of electoral votes, but I think it could have a domino effect. And Colorado is not as big as California or Texas, obviously, but it's bigger. And it's a state that's in the spotlight with the marijuana laws and Governor Hickenlooper, the current governor, who's a gay male. So there are things, I think, in that part of the country that I think
Hickenlooper is no longer the governor. The present governor is gay. Yes,
exactly. That's what I said. The current governor, Hickenlooper, the former governor.
Just want to make sure somebody didn't think Hickenlooper is. I don't think he'd want to be called that. Not that he's prejudiced, but I think he'd want to have it clarified. Yes.
Oh, that's okay. It reminds me. Remember of Ed Koch? The rumors about him being gay.
Yes.
You remember that one, right? And it was kind of that Seinfeld mentality. It's like, not that there's anything wrong with it, but he kind of wanted to clarify that. I think that's where the Seinfeld, the famous Seinfeld line about not that there's anything wrong with it kind of came from. Because Ed Koch will forever live in infamy with that comment. And it's something to giggle at because you kind of wonder what somebody's reaction is going to be. But I think he handled it really well. And that's
he
good.
Tried to cover up that he was gay by having what seemed like a relationship with Bess Myers and the former Miss America, but it wasn't. It was just a friendship, but it made it look like they were almost like a couple. Yeah,
and never quite know. Well, whatever floats your boat, as far as I'm concerned. But interesting to talk about people's demographics and how they differ. It's what makes America great, our diversity. As long as you're, I'll append that with as long as you're here legally. It's great.
Yeah,
to have,
I think, by the way, Beto O'Rourke has really become a dud. If he doesn't do well this week, I think he's done because, he was started off so high, and now he's not even discussed much anymore after what Julian Castro did to him in the first debate. So it'll be interesting to see how O'Rourke comes across this time. And he is a white male in his 40s. That's one of the pluses for him if you're looking for a younger white male.
Well, you can tell how disappointed I am, Ron. So life goes on.
Yes.
You also publish in the History News Network. In fact, you're one of their most popular authors, and you just recently published a History News Network article. Can you spend a couple of minutes and tell us about it?
You talk about the article published just yesterday, right?
Yes. Long History of Unjust and Lawless Attorney Generals. All right. Actually, yes. Rod, I want to correct...
This is an article that shows how many attorneys general...
I want to correct your English. It's attorneys general, not attorney generals. Attorneys general.
Yes, and actually the heading is incorrect on that article. I should point that out to the editor that it is attorneys general.
Just
not
because
attorneys
you
general.
Have the PhD and I was a chem major doesn't mean that I can't correct your English because it is attorneys general.
Yeah, but that actually I've seen because it just was published yesterday. I have not told her that it's attorneys general. Yes, that's
true. Tell her, you know, the editor. Tell her, Ron, that your radio co-host with his chemistry degree is the one who corrected her and his attorneys general.
Yes.
I'm really kind of surprised
that. I had written it that way, but she had changed it, but I will have to notify her about that. Anyway, we've had eight attorneys general, it was actually an active one, Matthew Whitaker, who have abused the Constitution and Bill of Rights. And starts off with A. Mitchell Palmer 100 years ago in the time of the Red Scare under Woodrow Wilson in 1919-1920. Then Harry Doherty, who was Harding's, imagine Warren G. Harding, your city there. Harry M. Doherty, the Attorney General, who was crooked under Warren G. Harding. And then John Mitchell under Richard Nixon. And then William Barr under H.W. Bush, and now again, particularly now even more than under H.W. Bush, and also John Ashcroft and Alberto Gonzalez under George W. Bush, and then Matthew Whitaker, and also Jeff Sessions, under first Jeff Sessions, then Matthew Whitaker under Donald Trump, and now Barr back again. And it's very disturbing, and I've gathered this information to show that they all, really violated their oath of office, but got away with it because the Justice Department has become so politicized that it's led to this. And just as an indication, it's not planned that way. All these people were under Republican presidents, except for Wilson with A. Mitchell Palmer. That was the only one. There really has not been an equivalent situation under any Democratic Attorney General, although some people don't like the people who were Attorney General. But not the kind of abuses of power that I reported on in this article.
So you would think if anybody would set an example for being law-abiding and ethical, it would be the Attorney General. I don't know how else to say that, but it seems like there's a lot of hypocrisy in this office.
And oh, my God, that's a capital H, yes.
How can we cure that? That doesn't make the country look very good, does it?
No, it doesn't. It depends on who you elect president and where they look at the office, I guess. You know, it's a big issue. It's a big problem. There's no easy answer to it. I wish there was, but there is not.
So you can.
I also wanted to bring up a couple of weeks ago, I had an article we didn't discuss about the new generation of leadership, which I've talked about on on my blog, but also about the fact of the ages. I talk about all the ages of the different candidates and how many are under 60 and also the smaller number over 60 and how it's really an age issue a lot, you know, that we've discussed because really all of our presidents and all the nominees most of the time have been in their 50s or 40s, not their 60s and 70s. So it is really an issue, at least for the Democrats. The Republicans have had older candidates, but the Democrats have had younger candidates, and now they may be going to the oldest ever with either Bernie Sanders or Joe Biden or Elizabeth Warren or Jay Inslee or John Hickenlooper. So the question is that a smart thing? And I keep on saying that because I think it's a worrisome issue.
So there's no way to cure the issue with the Attorney General, but it's interesting to pontificate about it.
Well, to hope that the presidents in the future pick people that are better, in quotes, whatever that means. Of course, everybody has their own ideas what's better.
We only have a few minutes left, and as usual, time flies when you're having fun. I gave you an article from historycollection.co, Ron, about 20 of the least successful presidential candidates. And some are well-known, Gerald Ford, for example, and we have some others who are maybe a bit more obscure. With a really cool name, we have Rufus King. It doesn't sound like a very presidential name, but he was
the
last.
That would be the first possible president's king, the other being Gerald Ford. If he had kept his name Leslie King, we could have had two presidents named King.
Now, Rufus King was the last presidential candidate for the original faction of American government, the Federalist Party.
1816, against James Monroe, yes.
He's kind of been steeped in obscurity, but for those who are scholars of the office like Ron, probably very, very familiar. And we've talked many times, Gerald Ford, although controversial, the Nixon pardon being the biggie, but the only president never to be elected directly, as he was appointed after Agnew resigned and didn't win re-election, but he didn't lose by much to the peanut president. We have the pineapple president and the peanut president, Jimmy Carter, someone else who's still alive in his
95 in about 2 months. Imagine that.
But he did lose to Jimmy Carter. But again, Gerald Ford and his great wife, Betty, underrated. And I think they will be improving their reputation as time goes on. And we have Franklin Roosevelt.
I want to mention about Rufus King. There is a Rufus King Mansion. It's an historic site in Jamaica, Queens, where I was born. There is a Rufus King Mansion. And, of course, I was born in Jamaica Hospital, as was Donald Trump, but not far away from the Rufus King Mansion, just as a trivia thing.
We'll probably just continue this next week as we're about out of time. But most people know that Franklin Roosevelt won election four times, and you can only be president victorious in elections twice currently
after the 22nd Amendment passed after his death, yes.
But one of the contenders for president in 1936 election, you weren't quite around yet, Ron, but almost.
No, but I interviewed Alf Landon, actually, on the phone when I was doing research for my PhD dissertation, which became my first book. I actually spoke to him on the phone, and I have correspondence from him. He was nearing 100 at the time.
Alf Landon lost to Roosevelt in 36, but only by 10 million votes and 8 electoral votes. So close election, but Alf Landon also is an interesting footnote in history. And
well, Alf Landon joins George McGovern and Walter Mondale as having the worst defeats of any candidate. They only, each of them only won 2 states. So that's interesting.
yeah, and you never quite know.
Well, actually, Mondale only won 1 state in D.C., excuse me. 1 state in D.C., and McGovern won 1 state in D.C. They're actually worse, in quotes, than Alf Landon, who won Maine and Vermont. And the saying developed, as Maine goes, so goes Vermont.
yeah, and kind of how it is sometimes. Just because you're a small state doesn't mean that you don't have a big impact. Ohio being medium-sized in population, but it's still having a big impact on the election, which is why it seems like every day there were candidates campaigning here, and I'm sure it'll be the same when the 2020 election kicks into high gear. Anyway, Ron, time flies when you're having fun. Great conversation.
We debated. Great show, yes.
We argue. We did without calling each other names. We can agree to disagree. We talked about history. We talked about candidates.
Yeah.
And as usual, giggled a few times because why take yourself too seriously? Thank you again for joining us. Be back with us next week for the first Adam mid-morning coffee break with Adam. That's what it's called. Of August. Gosh, the summer is winding down. And thanks again, as always, for joining us on Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio.